All right, let's go ahead and get started. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, and we ask that you would meet here with us this morning. We know that you do indwell us and that you walk with us daily and you go everywhere we go and you see every step, and we thank you for that, God. You said in the Word of God that you see the sparrows and you take care for the clovers of the field. And Lord, we thank you, God, for looking after us and being a good steward of everything that you've made. We know that it is you that have made us, not we ourselves. And we pray, oh God, that you would help us, provide for us, and help us, Lord, as the Bible says, to seek first the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that, to make a diligent search for righteousness. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to find what we've been seeking for. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to accomplish the goals and accomplish the will and the purpose that you've set out for us. Help us to do that, God, by showing us the Word, showing us, God, what it is that you'd have for us to do and for us to be. And we'll thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs. I thought I was having trouble seeing. There we go. Shed some light on the subject. All right. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. All right, we're going to stop reading there in verse number 22 and go back up to verse number 1. And when we first started off this study in the book of Proverbs, we pointed out and we looked at the fact that this whole book is going to be evil versus good, wise versus poor. And then one of the biggest points that we tried to make was that the book is a book of consequences. The book of Proverbs is a book of consequences. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, then other things will happen, or some things won't happen, and it's impossible to do otherwise. And that's because the book of Proverbs is based on laws, and really the only way to undo a law is with a miracle. Amen? And that's what shows up in the Gospels, miracles. God doing things for people that probably shouldn't be done. Amen? If God shows you grace, that's really a miracle. Grace is really a miracle. That's because you don't get what you do deserve. You don't get what you work for. The wages of sin is death. But the Lord said you're never going to see death. And even though you're going to die, you know, you think that, you know, you're looking forward to this day where your body's going to die. And the Lord said you're never going to see death. And we all, I wouldn't say that we all worry about death, but we all look at death with hesitation or fear. And a lot of that's because of the unknown portion of it. But the Lord said you don't have to do that. And the reason that He said we don't have to, and we do, is because we're not counting on the miracle that's going to take place when we do die. But I don't know, a lot of times I consider the fact that the Lord will give us dying grace when it's time to die, and I believe I have it now, I just don't take advantage of it. Amen? But at any rate, going back up to verse number 1, this chapter right here really begins to dig into that concept of actions and consequence, and if this happens, then this will happen. And really, I think you saw that as I was reading through there. Really, there's a contrast in almost every verse. So verse number 1 is just like that. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Well, I tell you, it's pretty obvious to me what makes a happy family right there. Amen? It's not money. It's not a good job. It's not a good career. It's not the finest houses. It's not all that. I was in the book of Luke this morning, and you know the Lord in there talking about seek ye first the kingdom. Now, of course, you understand that's in Matthew as well. But he's talking about, you know, that this life doesn't consist in the things that you have. This life consists in pleasing the Lord. You please the Lord and he'll take care of you and he'll do what's right. But a wise son maketh a glad father, not a rich son. Amen. So, well, if there's so much bound in a mother and father's happiness, it seems to me like that he would, that a man or a woman would spend the time on their children rather than, I don't even have to finish the sentence, do I? All the emphasis you put on seeking this earth, this world's goods, and this earth's good, and this earth's prosperity, and this earth's status symbols, and all these things that people spend time searching for, they don't really spend the time on those things which really matter, which is your children, making a wise son or daughter, as the case may be. And that's the thing that you really need to nourish and cherish, and those are the things that are going to turn out to be your happiness. Amen. Verse number 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. See those contrasts? A wise son, verse 1. A foolish son, verse 1. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Those verses are giving you the both sides of each coin. So a wise son maketh a glad father. You can have all the money in the world, but if your son ain't no count, what do you have to rejoice in? You know what's taking place in this generation right here? Fathers are learning to accept that their sons are fools and relishing in it. That ought not to be. It ain't making you no more. Just because you've decided to let down your principles and to accept the fool that your son is becoming doesn't make you any more happy. That seems to be the course of mankind from Genesis to Revelation. He fears to go astray. He does go astray. Then he tries to become comfortable in his going astray, and it just gets worse and worse. It ultimately ends him up in hell, and then you know what happens to him when he gets to hell? Rather than trying to get out of hell or expressing any remorse for being in hell, he says, hey, make me comfortable down here. Send me some water. Luke chapter 8, I've preached that sermon to you more than one time. Luke chapter 16, I think if it had been me in my right mind, of course, if you're in hell, you're not going to be in your right mind. But I would think if it had been me in hell, I would have said, hey, Father Abraham, spring me out of this place. Yeah. Wouldn't you? Yeah. But he don't say, he said, hey, send Lazarus over here. And so that he can dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this place. Make me comfortable over here. Hey, fathers, if you got a son that's unwise, Tighten him up. Amen. I mean, you say, well, I won't cause any problems. I'll just let things go the way that it's not going to get any better. You better tighten him up. Amen. In his foolishness, you're not going to have any peace. You know why? I've got a little ways to go before I have to worry about this, but I've got children that are getting up towards the age where they'll think they're adults, and it bothers me to think about my kids, sitting in their own home and paying their own bills and keeping their light bill on and, baking their own bread. That bothers me seeing them have to fend for themselves. They're going to have to fend for themselves at some point. I do understand that. But my desire as a father is to provide for them. My desire as a father is to make sure that everything goes right for them. I don't see how in the world that somebody could see their boy going astray or their girl going astray where they think, hey, if they keep going the way they're going, they'll be on dope and drugs and they'll be destitute and they're lazy and they won't work. And how a father can live seeing his children heading in that direction, I don't understand it. If in my heart, if you got kids that are doing good and they're wise and they're going to work and they've got all this thriftiness and you're still worried about them right there, I mean, that seems to me like that's the right way for a father to think. Amen. Hey, my child is going to walk around in this world that doesn't have their best interest at heart. And how somebody could watch their kids smoke dope and cuss and run wild with the wrong crowd and not say nothing about it and not be worried about it. Well, I just want to keep the peace. If I was you, I'd raise hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, if my son or if my daughter was making me miserable, I'd be making them miserable.
Yes, amen.
If I'm going to lay up all night worried about you, where you at, you're going to worry about things all day while you're here. Amen. Especially if you live under my house. My mama kicked my brother out of the house when he was 14 years old. He was smoking cigarettes and smoking pot and doing whatever he wanted to do. And from one vantage point, I can see that you don't want your kids doing things under your roof. And I understand all that. But in one sense of that thing, I'd want to keep them at home. He said, well, doing all that stuff under your roof, I understand that. You don't want that stuff to go on. You don't want somebody living under your roof that's doing that. But I'd like to keep them close. If they're going to make me miserable all night, I'm going to make them miserable all day. I'm not saying that's the way you should or shouldn't do things. You'll have to pray about that yourself. But I tell you what, a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents are just rolling over and letting their children be eat up. They're already eat up with foolishness. You ever heard that? You ever heard that expression? They're eat up with it.
Yeah.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child.
Amen.
You've got to drive it from them. That's your job. And I recommend to you, listen, don't start when they're 15.
Amen.
Don't start when they're 15. Amen. Start driving it out very early. You'll be lucky if you get it all out by the time they're 35. Amen? Well, I just don't want to ride them every day. Who else? Listen, if you don't ride them, somebody else is going to ride them. Amen? At first, when we were growing up, we just had one horse. That's all we had. We had one horse. And you should have seen three brothers and a mother and a father that all wanted to ride horses trying to ride that horse. Hey, it's my turn. Come home and you're going to say, I'm going to go ride today. I'm going to ride up the side of the mountain. I'm going to have a good time, sit down by the creek, just take it easy for a little while, and you get there and somebody else is already riding. Am I making my point to you? Hey, this world wants to ride that boy or that girl into the ground.
Right.
Amen? And if you don't get on top of it and stay on top of it, and if you don't keep your eye on that situation will get out of control. Just turn them loose with HBO or Hollywood or the music industry out there in Los Angeles, and you'll find out.
Yeah.
Amen. Speaking of that, look at verse number 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. If you're going to make some money, you better make it the right way. You know, they say not many people make it into show business and all that stuff. Well, listen, for such a small crowd, there sure is a lot of suicides, ain't there? You better think about that. And the ones that ain't getting suicidal is dying up by other ways. I run across these things. I told you, you know, I don't have ABC and NBC and stuff like that. About the only entertainment that I've got anymore is that YouTube. And I run across this thing. It showed where these celebrities are buried. And it's going around showing you where they're all buried. And you'd be surprised. I got to looking at that thing. And almost every person they come to. And this person sadly took their life when they was. And this person sadly took their life. And this person sadly took their life. Well, hey, there ought to be a big red flag going off in your head somewhere. All this money. I mean, you look at them and say, boy, I want those houses. I want those cars. I want that excess. I want all that stuff. And you, man, all you're doing is building up for a suicide. Because that don't make you happy. He says, treasures of wicked profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Oh, this is just an out-of-date book. Well, how come it turns out to be true so many times? How come so many people commit suicide when they don't follow this book? How come so many people's on depression pills? Hey, get up. Listen. I can't tell you not to follow your doctor's instruction, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're always on the depression pills and stuff like that, you need to familiarize yourself with this book. And you need to get out and do some, get some things accomplished in your life. Work hard. Get some things accomplished. Get this book in your brain. Transform your mind. Transform your mind by the Word, Romans chapter 12. And realize that this world and the things you're chasing in this world is wringing you out like a dish rag. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Once you see that, once you get that thing under control, go take them pills back to your doctrines. Tell them you found the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not telling you to quit your pills, then you'll sue me for whatever. But I'm telling you, get your life straight. You won't need this world's chemical balance. Amen. Amen. You know what I found in the Bible that's true about all Christians? You're not just bipolar, you're tripolar. You got a body, soul, and spirit. One of those things is going to be in charge on a regular basis. And if you're going to be different every day, it's going to run you in circles. You've got a body, soul, and a spirit. A body's physical. Is that right? You got a soul that's emotional. And you got a spirit that deals with truth or error. You either have a spirit that is interested in the truth and led by the truth, or you have a spirit that is led by falsehood and wickedness. And one of those things, your emotional makeup, your physical makeup, or your spiritual makeup is going to be in charge on any given day. And maybe in the course of a day, you might switch back and forth between those things all day long. Of course you've got multiple personality disorder. It's not unnatural, it's natural. What you need to do is get it straight. What you need to do is get the body, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, you need to get your body, your soul, and your spirit in line with this book. And then you'll find joy unspeakable. You won't always be happy. But joy is something that you can have no matter what's happening. Happy. Happening. Happy. Amen? But even in the bad times, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can just glorify God all the time. Amen? I saw a news clip this past week about this man who claims he's Jesus, and he's got followers all over the world. And one of his followers was talking about how great he was. And she said, since I've met him, I just know he's the real deal. And ever since I met him, I know it's real because I love myself. Listen, loving yourself is not what you get from finding Jesus. Loving Jesus is what you get from finding Jesus. Amen? And that's what people are looking for, how to love their self. Well, I've got news for you. If you find Jesus and find his principles and love him, you will love who you are after that. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. You think that that ain't going to work, but that's going to work. You think that the way to happiness is pleasing yourself and find a way to make yourself happy every day, but that is not the way you do it. The way to get that, the way to actually find that, is to deny yourself, humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will exalt you in due season. That's the way you find it. The old saying is simply this: the way up is down. Humble yourself and he'll exalt you. Now that's what God said about it. A lot of people don't believe the Bible, but that's something you're going to have to work out between you and the Lord. Amen? Treasures of the wicked, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Some of us are headed for physical death. If the Lord doesn't take us out of here soon, we're all going to head for death. But righteousness delivereth from death. It delivers from the sting of death. It delivers from the fear of death. It delivers from the consequences of death. And death is a heavy burden. Death is a heavy burden for you to bear. I promise you that. So he says, verse number 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The wicked life is just, it's not going to be profitable for you. You could get, like it says in verse 2, you could get money on top of money and cars and houses and land. Those things will never satisfy. Those things will never make you happy. And the testimony of it is just constant. You look in it every day. Every day you look at the news feed and it's just this person died or this person committed suicide. Listen, there's no pleasure in that stuff that's worth anything. That, you know, the Bible makes it clear, the pleasures of sin last only for a season. Amen. That's right. The pleasure of the Lord, though, is eternal. I wish people could see it. I really do. I wish people could say, Brother Mike, you're talking to the Sunday school class and we're all good people and all this stuff. Listen, you don't know the people that are right here in this church this morning and people that are members of this church who have family members that have gone astray. And listen, they're on their way to heaven and they're trying to serve the Lord. But they are dealing with every day people in their family that are in and out of jail, in and out of hospitals, in and out of all kinds of foolishness that is just making their lives miserable because they see their family being eat up by all these foolish things, being eat up by foolishness. And if you had to suffer it for a little while, you would, hopefully if you were the one suffering with it physically and personally, you'd run from it. And if you were one that was dealing with loved ones that was dealing with it, you'd be on your knees praying for them and fasting for them and in person begging them to get their lives right and get their lives right. Not be passive on this thing. I have family members that avoid me because, I don't want to see them on heroin. I don't want to see them getting drunk. I don't want to see them spend their life like the last three generations of our family have ruined their life. I'm going to say something to them. You say, why? Because God told me to say something to them. But more than that, I love them. I want to see them get out of that way. And they're not going to get out of that way by just patting them on the back and say, well, keep going, honey. We love you anyway. What good is loving them anyway when they'll be dead anyway? Yep. Amen. The preacher's always the mean one. The preacher's always the bigot. But you walk a mile in my shoes. You walk down to my little cousin's grave who stuck a .38 to her head and pulled the trigger because she couldn't handle the life of the drugs and being passed from man to man anymore. You walk down with me to the grave of my other cousin that hit an oak tree and an old Plymouth going so fast it threw him up against a tree and then bounced him 45 yards out. Walk down there with me and see about what I know about the situation or not. Go with me down to my second cousin's house who was shot through the door of his own house coming to see his little kid on Easter morning because him and his wife couldn't get, they had irreconcilable differences. And the next fellow that she ran in with shot him and killed him because he was jealous. Supposed to be jealous husbands shooting other fellas, not other fellas shooting. See, it don't make no sense, does it? This life is trying to chew you up and spit you out. Ain't no happiness in that. Go with me down to the grave of my grandpa who got to playing cards all night and running moonshine and all kinds of stuff like that and then got shot and killed because of it. Don't look at me and grin and say, well, everything will be all right. We just do what makes us happy. It ain't going to make you happy. It's going to kill you.
Amen.
It's going to kill you. It's going to chew you up and spit you out. That's what's going to happen to you. You call me mean. The wages of sin is death. This junk out here in the world's trying to kill you. You calling me mean?
Amen.
You kiss the world in the mouth while it's trying to strangle you and shake your fist at the preacher. You better realize that's what's been taking place since Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelation.
Yeah, right.
Shake your fist at the preacher. You're mean. You don't understand us. And kiss the world right in the mouth while it's choking you out. Don't make a lot of sense to me, but that's what's happening. And then you know what happens after that, just like it said this morning in the book of Luke. Hey, well, Lord, don't you know us? You preached right here in our streets. And Lord said, I don't know who you are. And if he didn't say who you was, he'd say, you're the one that was shaking your fist while I was telling you to get the junk out of your life. You was the one shaking your fist. But then when it turns around, comes time for judgment. Don't you know me, Lord? I was sitting in the church every Sunday morning. You taught in our streets, they said. He said, I don't know who you are. Get out. That's what he said. Get out. He said, that's such a mean God. Know what's such a mean you when he come and preached to you and told you the first time, you said, you better fear. You better turn to the Lord. Amen. You say, why? Well, verse number 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to vanish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Amen? Have you got any experience with that? Have you ever tried to live in a way that wasn't right and correct? And stuff just kept going away, and stuff just kept going away, and nothing turned out right, and everything, stuff just disappear. Nothing turns out right in this life. That's the kind of thoughts, that's the kind of results that lead to the grief of this world. Well, listen. Well, like they say, the mistake that people never get right and straight in their lives is that they never learn from history. If things aren't right and correct, do something different. Right? Do something right and different. Amen. Well, look what he says here. The treasures of the wicked, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Well, that's a great promise in itself. Just concentrate on the first part of those verses. Verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul. Don't you want a part of that? Isn't that what you're after? Well, man, live on that side of the verse. Amen. In every town, you got two sides of town. You got one side of town where it's safe to walk around day or night. You got one side that it ain't safe to go out in the daytime. Choose which side you want to live on. Well, I can't afford to live over there. Do something about it.
Amen.
Do something about it. Amen.
Amen.
Do something about it. Well, that's what the world right now is in a place where they're like a deer caught in the headlights. I can't do nothing about it. Yes, you can. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it for you. Listen, stop waiting for somebody to come along and do things for you, and you and the Lord start doing it right now.
Amen.
Amen. If you want righteousness, start heading that way. happen. If you want the good results, if you want that wise son, if you want that righteousness that delivers from death, if you want that, the Lord says the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. If you want to live that life where you've got plenty, and I'm not talking about necessarily just all gold and silver, but if you want those things, start right now and head out in that direction. Amen. Well, the prodigal son, he didn't have no idea of how he was going to be received. He didn't know what the outcome of it was going to be. All he knew is he had already taken his father's inheritance. He had already taken his father's goods, and he had already spent them, and he had already done everything that would push his father away from him. He didn't know how he was going to be received when he got home, but he got up and started heading that direction. Turns out there was somebody waiting up there on the porch to hug his neck. He said, well, I don't know what will happen if I start trying to live right today. Hey, start trying to live right today, and you'll find out that you've got a Father in heaven that's faithful, and He'll be there waiting for you when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You better start walking that way today. Amen. Now, I'll just tell you, I hate this world.
Amen. Yeah.
I hate it. I hate what it does to people. I hate the results of it. I hate getting a phone call and say so-and-so's just wrecked a car, and so-and-so's just done this, and so-and-so's just done that. You just go through all the stuff, and you just answer my phone for a little bit, and every time your wife comes in the room, so-and-so's got into this, so-and-so's got into that. Every time somebody comes and talks to you, hey, do you remember so-and-so that used to sit on the back row? Hey, now they're all... Listen, I'm tired of that. But guess what? You know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus was looking at the whole time He was walking on this earth? The cross. And when they come to Him and said, oh, they got it out for you. And He said, well, you go tell them, I'm going to walk today, and I'm going to walk tomorrow, and the third day I'll be perfected. And I know good and well that at the end of my days they're going to hang me up. I'll be perfected. I know good and well what's going to take place, but I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to walk. Better start doing right today. Verse number three. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Lazy arms. Well, I mean, the Lord just spent a couple of verses telling you that you got to do right. He says in verse number two, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You can steal and rob and cut corners and get some extra dimes, but that's going to lead to nothing. If you really want to get rich, here's how you do it. You work hard.
Amen.
But you know what He's going to tell you at the end of the day? He's going to tell you not to seek this world's good. He's going to tell you to be satisfied with your bread, and He's going to tell you, amen?
Yeah.
But, I mean, just for the record, if you want more money, work harder. People get down to the end of a 70-hour week. Well, I'm just so tired. I have to work so much. Well, stop it then. What do you want, money or tired? I mean, you want money or rest? You can't have money and rest. Let me ask you this. Do you need money or do you need rest? We'll find out which one you want and go after it. He said, Brother Mike, I'd rather rest. Okay, do it.
Yeah.
Oh. Right? So, Brother Mike, I want more money. Okay, have at it. Get you 10 hours overtime this week. But stop complaining. Amen?
Right.
Now, what I would advise is resting in the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're going to rest, hey, if you're not going to work 10 hours overtime next week, go do some work for the Lord. He could use some laborers as well.
Amen.
Amen. Read some extra verses in the Bible. Read some extra chapters in the Bible. Read some extra books in the Bible. Amen. Send up some extra prayers. I mean, if you're going to rest anyway, pray. Amen. Amen. Well, he says the Lord don't care nothing. The Lord don't care if you go, you know, if you want to be rich, and if you, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that a good man lay up treasure or lay up an inheritance for his children's children. There's nothing wrong with working and being industrious and being thrifty. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. Nothing wrong with that stuff at all. What there is something wrong with is spending 50 extra hours a week working and then complaining about it. Yeah. Or spending 10 extra hours a week working and not giving God the glory that's due to His name. And fulfilling your Christian responsibilities. You can do anything you want, dads. You can do anything you want, moms. But here's a couple things that you do have to do. You have to give God His glory. Yeah. You have to submit yourself to God's principles. You have to do those things. Whether you be rich or poor, you have to do those things. And I'll go ahead and turn it around right there and say this. Not having money is not an excuse. Right? Things happen alike to all of us, the rich and the poor. How dies the rich man? Just like the fool. Amen. Yeah. Amen. The rich man going to die just like the fool. Hey, the fool, he's going to die just like a rich man. A rich man gets sick, a poor man gets sick. Amen. Amen. So he says the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. But he casteth away the substance. He casteth away the same things of the wicked. You know, if you go and read in the book of maybe I got time to read it. Malachi, chapter number 3, and he says this. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Well, in verse number 3 of Proverbs 10, he says, he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Well, that right there in that same vein between those two verses, God said if you'll do the right thing, he'll rebuke that thing that is devouring all the stuff that you got. And then he says, on the other hand, if you're not going to do the right thing, he'll scatter your substance from you. It'll look like it's making itself wings and flying away. That's what the Bible says about money anyway, doesn't it? Verse number 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Just be diligent. Keep your eye on things. Boy, I'd have to admit to you, I'm the fool right there. I'm not the diligent one. Amen. I'm not reveling in that. God forgive me for it and help me with it. Amen. Verse number 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. You got to know when to work, amen? Just standing out in the middle of the field during the wintertime saying, "Where's all my food?" You should have been planting that last spring. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Know when it's time to go, amen? Amen. Well, this generation's the world's worst for it. Come Thursday or Friday, these lazy boys that don't ever do nothing, they're out and about looking for $5 from Grandma. Grandma, give me $5. Amen. The weekend's coming up. I got to go to the movies. Of course, I don't think you can go to the movies with $5. But, boy, when it comes about time for the weekend, you can count on that fella in your family that don't work to come by and see you. "Well, I just thought I'd come by and see you for a little while." And in your head, you're going, "Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to come." And before long, "Well, I guess I better go. I need to get down to the house and do a few things." You ain't got $5 I can hold, do you? If I had $1,000 for every time I heard that said in my life, I'd be a rich man. That's the way them old hillbillies up there in the mountain work. They lay drunk Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The money runs out. Come time for the weekend, come over to your daddy that works 40 hours a week and say, hey, cousin, you ain't got 10 I can borrow, do you? I've been thinking about y'all all week. I just wanted to come by and see you. Well, hey, you want me to tell you how to get $10 for the weekend? Start working on Monday. Sunday's a work day too, by the way. Except it's not to work down at the factory, it's to work. Amen? This right here is work. Some of you know that because you're working hard just trying to make it through one of my sermons. Amen. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Blessings or a curse? You know, that's what the Lord told the children of Israel when he first started out with them there. He said, I put before you this day a blessing and a curse. And you know what he said to every man that comes into the world? He says, I put before you a blessing and a curse. And you're going to get one of them. There's no middle ground. A lot of people playing in between the world and the church, trying to play that middle ground and trying to find some happiness. Ain't no happiness out there. Ain't no happiness out there. The only happiness there is with the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's what blessing means, happy. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Boy, we can go, we'll have to wait till next week, but we can go into a lot of stuff right there. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. We'll start right there next week. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us this morning because I sense a lot of heaviness. And Lord, I'm not trying to be like voodoo person or some super spiritual or something like that. But I just see and I recognize here this morning, God, a lot of hindrance and a lot of bad spirit about things. And Lord, I pray that you'd drive that away. And I know, God, that with all my heart that that's the influence of the devil. That's the influence of a bad spirit. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help. And I pray, God, that you would deliver from that. And I ask you, oh God, to help us this morning as we go into the morning service, Lord, that we would just trust in you and that we'd give you the glory that's due to your name. I thank you, dear God, for your goodness. Lord, I thank you, God, for forgiveness. Lord, if I was left to myself without your mercy and your grace, I would definitely reap the life of foolishness. I'm a foolish man, a sinful man. Like the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And Lord, given to the things, Lord, that I don't even like, this flesh is so weak that it gives itself over to these things. If it wasn't for your mercy and for your grace, we'd all be consumed. And I just pray, oh God, that you'd help us to keep that in mind, to fear, to tremble, to ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I've seen it many times in my life that men became unmindful of their condition and they become unmindful of your condition. And the end result of that every time was death and destruction and violence and misery and addiction. And oh God, I pray that you'd drive all those things away from every single person sitting in this building this morning. And Lord, how could it possibly be except for that men and women would set their minds and their hearts on that good thing and walk towards that and go towards that and desire that rather than the things of this world? That's the only way that I believe it could be. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to set our hearts and minds on the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Lord, you said all these things down here that we had need of, you'd add to us. And I thank you for that promise. I thank you for the simplicity of that equation, God, that gives us our daily bread. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to seek after those things, your righteousness. And Lord, I thank you, God, for what you do for us in return. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break. Got about 5 minutes.